Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever loved somebody? The way God loves somebody. He loves you.
Tuning in to There's Nothing New Under the Sun. This is yours truly, Pastor C, in the Sanctuary Studio in Landover Hills, Maryland. I'd like to wish everyone a happy Thursday. Truly, this is the day that the Lord has made. We shall and we will rejoice and be glad in it. In the studio with my good friend and mentor, Dr. G. How you doing, sir?
We're blessed.
And Sheila G. is stepped out of the studio for a second, but she's here, and she'll be joining us shortly. So let us open up with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, that we humbly bow, God, and thank you for another privilege, another opportunity to get together and study your word. Father, we pray that you will bless us, that we will be able to study, to show ourselves approved unto you, that we can be workmen that need not be ashamed, but rightly dividing your word of truth. Bless us, God, that we will be able to apply this word to our lives, share it with others, and as always, God, we pray that this will be done to your glory, and we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, Dr. G, on last week, we had a barn burner on Matthew chapter 13, talking about how Jesus talked to the Pharisees, the religious rulers at that time, in parables. And basically, he broke it down that there were some by the wayside. There were some where the seed was sown by the wayside. There were some where the seed was sown in stony places. And there was seed that was sown where thorns were. And there was finally seed that was sown in good ground. And that ground brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, and some 30-fold. And how the wayside seed was those that didn't understand the word, and the wicked one came and stole it out of their heart. And how the stony one that didn't have much root in there, and when the sun came and the trials and tribulations came, they weren't able to withstand. And then the thorny one, where the thorns were, when they got into a situation where the riches and the deceitfulness of the world came, it choked them out, and they weren't able to stand. And we were just looking at, you know, that parable and how it illustrates the church of today, that you have people who hear the word but don't understand. You have people that, just like the stony ground, that don't have any root in them. They make an emotional decision, but they can't grow. And then the thorn situation, where the cares of the world take them away. And then you have those that have good ground, and they're able to produce and become disciples in the kingdom of God. But there's truly nothing new under the sun.
Amen.
And if you don't understand that this is what Jesus was talking about, you drive yourself crazy in the church wondering why people just don't get it.
Amen. You're right. And, you know, it's a thing, especially for us as leaders, we have got to be so grounded in that word that all of these other types of folk will discourage you and have you thinking, what's wrong with me? What have I done wrong? When basically, I think verse 15 says it, you know, that they need to be converted. And it'll have you going in all kinds of directions. And like you said, you know, that was going on back then. And then fast forward to the 21st century. And there's truly nothing new under the sun. Church folk are still church folk.
Amen. But let's read that verse 15, Matthew chapter 13, verse 15. It says, for the people's heart is wax gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. And this is just the prophecy of all the prophets, one of the prophets, Isaiah, that declared that they wouldn't be able to hear, they wouldn't be able to see, their hearts would be wax gross. In other words, they could not understand the word of God. And so this was just a fulfillment of the prophecy, and this is why Jesus spoke to these particular group of people in prophecy, because he needed to fulfill what the prophet Isaiah spoke of. And then we went over, and it just broke down that what these situations were. So let's continue on verse. I want to go to verse 18, where it says, Matthew 13, verse 18, where it talks about the parable of the sower. So we can catch everybody back up to speed. So the parable of the sower, beginning at chapter 13, verse 18 in the book of Matthew. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understand it not, becometh a wicked one and catcheth away that which he has sown in his heart. This is he which received by the wayside. So here's the word, don't understand it, and the enemy doesn't want it to be, the wicked one doesn't want it to take root, and so he steals it out of their heart.
Amen.
And you know, you're like, wow, it's something to have the word go out and people not understand it and the enemy come and take it. And then in verse 20 it says, but he that receiveth the seed in stony places, the same as he that hear the word and Anon with joy received it. Now that word Anon means emotional. So they hear the word and they're emotional. You have people in church that hear the word, they're emotional. In verse 21, it says, yet he has not root in himself, but dure for a while. But when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, by and by he is offended.
Wow.
Can't handle it. Verse, the folks didn't understand, and the word went out, got stolen. Second one is the cares of the world. Took them out. Not the cares of the world, but the tribulation and persecution arose and it took them out. And then in verse 22, it says, he also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful.
Wow.
And so you have these three people that are in the church. You're the one that don't understand the word. They don't do any spiritual warfare, and the enemy, just as soon as the word goes out, it takes away.
Amen.
Then you have one that is emotional, too emotional, no root in them. And when the trials and the tribulations come, they get offended.
Amen.
and you have a lot of folk like that in the church. They get emotional,
mm-hmm.
and then they get offended.
Amen.
And then they get offended, and they just act crazy in the church. Can I say crazy in the church?
Amen.
Let me say act immature in the church. And then you have the ones that get caught up with the world and then want to do the worldly thing and try to do the church thing. And it just doesn't work. And so those are the three individuals that we deal with in everyday ministry, Dr. G.
And you're right. And the thing is, I'm sitting here thinking, you know, all churches have all three of these kinds of people in mm-hmm. the big churches, the medium sized, and the small churches.
Mm-hmm.
And yet we are to continue to preach and teach to them prayerfully. Some might come around to really understanding, but all three of those types of folk
mm-hmm.
we have in all of our churches out here.
Yeah. And you have to, as a leader, you have to recognize this. Otherwise, like I said, you'll drive yourself, you'll beat yourself
mm-hmm.
up.
Amen.
But there's some that's not going to understand it, and the wicked one's going to take it away. There's some that going to get emotional, and then when something happens, they get offended, and there's going to be some that get caught up in the world. And then in verse 23, it says, "But he that receiveth seed in good ground, is he that heareth the word and understand it, which also bear fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold, and some 60, and some 30." And so you have, thank the Lord, you have some of those folk in the church also that have good soil,
mm-hmm.
and it's like it's like a breath of fresh air. When you deal with people that understand the word, willing to obey the word, and willing to share the word, and then they bring forth fruit.
Amen.
But the difficulty is when you have that person with good ground coupled with those other three.
Watch out.
So one out of the four is what you're working with, but three out of the four is combating the program.
Amen.
Dr. G.
Amen. And it's a shame because, you know, that one type of person, you know, you thank God because you can tell that they're bearing fruit. They're,
mm-hmm.
they're faithful. They're committed. They come. They
mm-hmm.
they do the time. They do what the Lord tells them to do.
Yep.
And when you watch them, you can look at them and tell that they're
yeah.
growing.
Converted.
You know,
converted.
That they've been converted because they're serious about their walk with Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody is just not like that.
Yeah, and that's the whole key of someone that's converted.
Mm-hmm.
When you're converted, then you have this, you're a fertile ground, you're
Amen.
Good ground. But if you haven't been converted, what happens is a lot of times you become a hellion. You don't even know you're
Amen.
A hellion in the church.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we battle with. And so in this second part, verses 24 through 30, it talks about the wheat and the tares. And this is an example of what's going on in the church as far as why we see good and evil going on in the church.
Mm-hmm.
Let's look at verse 24. Another parable, this is Matthew 13, verse 24. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which soweth good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat, and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? He said unto them, An enemy has done this. The servant said unto him, Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? In verse 29 says, But he said, Nay, lest while you gather up the tares, you root up also the wheat with them.
Amen.
Let both grow together until
Amen.
The harvest, and
mm-hmm.
in time of
Come on.
Harvest,
Come on.
I will say to the reapers, Gather ye together
Amen.
First the tares, and bind them in the bundles to burn them. But gather the wheat into my barn. And so Jesus goes on to explain this a little bit later in this chapter. But that lets us know that it's good soil and bad soil.
Mm-hmm.
in the body, in the building, amen, in the church building. And we have to understand that it's always going to be that way, Dr. G. There's
amen.
Always going to be a hellion. There's always going to be somebody in there. There's always going to be strife. There's always it's in like you said, every church, big, small, medium, whatever, it's in there. But we have to recognize that here the sower is saying, you know, it's going to be that way. We have to acknowledge the fact. He said, let them grow together.
Amen.
Because God's going to be the one to separate.
That's right.
So don't get bent out of shape.
Mm-hmm.
Don't lose hope. Don't faint, because God knows what's going on. And that's our solace. When you have conflict and you have trouble in the church, you have to have solace in knowing that God knows. He knows what's going on.
Amen.
He knows the ones that are raising ruckus. He knows the ones that are emotional. He knows the ones that aren't getting the word because they don't understand. He knows the ones that are concerned with the cares of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And because he knows, we need to make sure we continue to minister, because the one who has fertile ground is going to produce fruit.
Amen.
And so if we stop ministering, then that shortchanges the one who has that good ground that's going to produce fruit, Dr. G.
And it's always possible that those that aren't, we can get to the point where they begin to understand. So, and it's not our job to judge.
No.
Our job is to continue to spread the love. Now, we may not like what they did, but we got to love them anyhow.
Oh, boy.
And treat them in the way that Christ would want us to
Amen.
Treat them. Because then we are doing what we're supposed to do in obedience to God. And so, you know, and I remember years ago when I first came to the church, we were young people, a young lady. And I let her sing in the choir. Yeah, I knew she was living with a guy.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the deacons said, well, Pastor, such and such is living with such and such. And, you know, we need to do something.
Mm-hmm.
And I told him, look, it's not our job, the job. What better way for this person to become converted than to keep singing the songs
Amen.
Of the Lord. Let the more she hangs around that, the more likely she'll be drawn to Christ.
Right.
So after I get through laying that on, he's back, okay, well, I understand. I see your
mm-hmm.
point.
Yeah. And that's what Jesus is saying. He said, let them grow together. And in the end, he'll separate.
Amen.
But he knows.
He knows.
And that's what we always say. You might be able to fool me, but you can't fool God.
you
can perpetrate a fraud in front of me. Call me Dumbo. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
But God knows, and he knows what the situation is, and he will do the separation.
Amen. And Pastor, so, you know, people don't seem to understand that the fact that God does know, and he will do the punishing. And, you know, we can't fool God any other time. We might be able to fool man sometimes. And the thing is, you know, we do that mess. Other people can see. And this is where those that have been sown on good soil, that we grow, but we just don't judge. But we devolve that to the Lord. God will handle it.
And he handles it really well.
Yes, he does.
he handles it better than we can.
Amen.
But it's good. That's why it's so good to study the Word of God, because you actually have a spiritual understanding of what's going on, and won't be so frustrated with ministry. A lot of times people come frustrated with ministry because they don't understand what's going on, and the enemy wants to blind them to what's going on. And God will in his Word shows us the enemy's playbook.
Amen.
He shows us his playbook.
Amen.
We know what he's gonna run. We know what he's going to throw. We know how he's going to act. But we just have to stay in his Word, so that when it comes, we can draw from that Holy Spirit to say, I recognize this,
mm-hmm.
this attack. And I know you're a tear. And I know your heart, you don't understand the Word. I know that you're worldly. I know that you don't have much root. But we're going to continue to plant. We're going to continue to water. And God will give the increase.
Amen.
And we'll leave it up to him. And that's the way we have to get to in the church. But too many times we get emotional, we get frustrated, we want to get to a place where we just feel like saying forget it. And you know, once you get to that point, it's hard to get back.
Amen.
Once you get over that, so you just have
Amen.
To settle down and
mm-hmm.
talk to the Lord about it.
Amen.
keep ministering, and when you keep ministering, God knows when to make a move and when to pluck that thing up and move that thing out of the way.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. So he's going to talk about, in verses 31 through 33, he's going to talk about the mustard seed and the leaven of the bread, but then he's going to explain to them about the wheat and the tares. So let's go to verses 31. He says, another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like to a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed in the least of all seeds is the least of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs, and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branch thereof. And so this is what he's saying about the kingdom of God, about the word of God. It's like it'll spread. It started as a little thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it started as a little thing. And through all these generations, it spread. So much so now that Christianity is major across all continents. And we just have to continue to trust God that the more we do the small things right, he can trust us more
right.
And more.
Amen.
And more important things. But we got to get the small thing right, like that grain of mustard seed. You know, if we had the faith the size of what? Of a mustard seed, we can move mountains. And you can speak to the mountain move, but we got to make sure we start off with that small faith. And those are the ones that are converted. People that are converted, a lot of times, Dr. G, their faith is stronger than those that have been in the ministry for a year.
Amen. Amen. You're right. And again, you can tell because they're on fire for the Lord. Now, those that are just kind of hitting and missing, you know, they come in, one of the others, they become emotional, but then as time goes on, you know, they pull away, stop giving, stop doing the things. And their minds are focused on secular things for the world. And as you said, you know, the devil comes and he just takes
snatches away.
Away. And so we're left wondering what's wrong. But then here comes God again.
Mm-hmm.
He has to do something else to get people's attention.
Mm-hmm. And when we look at this word, It's so powerful, but you got to apply it.
Hello.
And you have to apply it on a regular basis.
That's right.
And what it does, it begins to start ministering to you. And if you're not saved, it will convert you. And if you have been converted, what will happen is it begins to start changing you from the inside out.
Amen.
And that's where we need to really be changed from the inside out. We need to let the word in us begin to start transforming us. Like in Romans 12, it says, Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You got to get into the word. You got to let the Holy Spirit through the word begin to change those old ways. But if your eyes are still closed, your ears are still closed, and your heart is still waxed over, it takes time for that word to get in and to break through. But if you keep coming, if you keep ministering, it will break through. And so this is the parable of the leavened bread in verse 33. He says, another parable spake he unto them, the kingdom of heaven like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures meal till the whole was leavened. It just takes a little bit of leaven that will begin to start spreading through the whole loaf.
Amen.
Just a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And so the word of God has the ability to transform. It's like leaven. But if we don't get it in us, we can't be transformed. We can't be converted. And that's one of the things the enemy doesn't want us to do. He doesn't want that word to marinate. That's why when someone doesn't hear the word and they don't have a chance to marinate it or talk about it, the wicked one will come in and take it, and it won't take root. But if you get into the word on a regular basis, on a daily basis with your devotion and getting in Bible study and getting along like-minded people that talk and study about the word of God, then it has a chance to marinate. But if you always listen to secular music, always listening to these reality TV shows, always reading, you know, this weird stuff on the internet, it doesn't have a chance. And what happens, Dr. G, is that stuff that you're reading and listening to, that gets in your spirit.
Amen.
And then you begin to start looking like the world
Thank you.
Instead of looking more like God. And so that stuff leavens you. You you begin to start cussing and fussing and whoremongering and doing all kind of crazy stuff and not listening to the word of God. And so when you're getting the word in Bible study or at worship or whatever, and everybody else is receiving it, you can't receive it because your mind is still on the things of the world. And that's a trick of the enemy.
And it's a shame to say, but those things of the world are just temporary. You know, it's a temporary high enjoyment because as soon as something happens to them, you know, we people just seem to go crazy. You know, I can remember young in age and in my growing up in Christ, that once that when I, before I even really got to know Christ, that had a 1973 Monte Carlo. And I bought it, I paid for it,
all
I took care of it, I went to work, and I said, and when I die, I want to be buried in it.
In the 1973
Monte Carlo. I said, fool, what is wrong with you? And I, when I look back on those days now, you know, and I can tell that back then I was young and dumb. But now that I've grown up, you know, the Bible says when you're as a child, you think as a child, you act as a child.
When I became a man.
And, but it's time for folk in the church to grow up and stop being childish.
But if you allow that word to get in you, you keep coming along enough, you keep studying that word, it's going to accomplish
it
what
will.
It set forth to accomplish. And that's what we need. We need a church that has been infected by the word of God.
Amen.
I mean, in a good way.
Amen.
Infected by the word of God, where the word of God begins to change them, so that attitude, that line, that emotional whatever it is, becomes less and less so that we can be effective in ministering to others.
Amen.
And so we're going to go on and then we're going to get some folk on the line. I know we didn't get anybody on the line last week, but we're gonna finish up verses 34-43 and talks about the wheat and the tares. And this is Matthew 13, verse 34. All these things spake Jesus unto the multitude in parables, and without a parable spake he not unto them, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the prophet, saying, I open my mouth in parables. I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house, and his disciples came and said unto him, saying, declare unto us the parable of the tares and the field. And this is relating to the kingdom of God. In other words, God is speaking to those that didn't understand. Their hearts were waxed gross. Their ears were closed. Their eyes couldn't see. Isaiah prophesied it. These were supposed to be the seed of Abraham, but their hearts were so messed up that they didn't understand that the kingdom of God in the presence of God was here. See, Jesus came the first time to set the kingdom up in their heart.
Amen.
They thought he was going to set up a earthly kingdom. But he came first to straighten their hearts out. So they couldn't understand it, and so they weren't buying it. They weren't feeling it. And so that's why he spoke to them in parables, because he says, it's not for you to hear, because Isaiah prophesied that you would be the ones that reject it. And so because you were prophesied that you would reject it, he spoke to them in parables, and they didn't understand.
Amen.
And so here his disciples got with him behind closed doors, and he revealed to him what the secret of the kingdom is.
All right.
Does anybody in the body of Christ want to know what the secret of the kingdom is?
Come on.
Is anybody curious? Or do we want to watch 60 Minutes? Or do we want to watch Thursday Night Football? We want to watch the NBA Finals, whatever it is, Empire, whatever show it is. Or are we interested in what the kingdom is really, really like?
Amen.
And so here he's talking about the saved and the unsaved. Let's look what he says in verse 17. Matthew 13, verse 37. He answered and said unto them, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. In verse 38, the field is the world.
Well,
the good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked, of the wicked one. The enemy that soweth them is the devil.
Ouch.
The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. Now, he's speaking plain to them.
Selling it out there.
I don't think sometimes, Dr. G, that people think that there's an enemy or a wicked one.
Amen. They don't. And they don't, how can I put it? They don't get it that too often we are important. You know, people just, for some reason, they don't think heaven is real. They don't think hell is real. Some folks say, well, I'm in hell right now. So they live the way that they live because they don't really believe. They're just going through the motions.
But here it's a constant spiritual warfare. And this is the thing that we have to understand, that our five senses that we have, and I always go over them, is we can hear, we can see, we can smell, we can taste, we can feel. But there is a realm, it's almost like we're at a disadvantage in our five senses. That's why we need the Spirit of God.
Amen.
So we can fight spiritual warfare.
That's right.
Because with our five senses, we're just like sitting ducks
Hello.
To the devil. But when you're converted and the Spirit of God comes inside, now you understand spiritual things.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why in ministry, when you're ministering to a bunch of people, there's some folk that don't understand spiritual things.
Nope.
You can minister to them about spiritual things, that you're purple, green, and yellow in the face, and they'll never get it.
Amen.
And so that's why it's important for us to continue to grow, continue to get to a place where we can minister in the Spirit and let it marinate long enough so those that are receptive to the Word. See, that's the good ground. There's folks out there with good ground, which is the harvest, but if we don't, the laborers, if we don't labor to get it out there, those folks don't get the word. So in other words, there's some folks that are going to be lost.
That's right.
But there's some folks out there that God says the harvest is plenty, but the labor is few. And so the harvest is out there, but we have to go to where the good ground is, the good soil is, and sow the seed. But too many times we get caught up with our own mess.
Amen.
That we're not going out and sowing the good seed, going sowing seed to those that need seed sown to them. And so it's like we almost gave up.
Amen.
That it's like everybody's lost, everybody's going to hell. I'm not going out there saying nothing to anyone. But there's somebody out there that God has prepared that's ready to hear a word from the Lord.
That's right.
And that's why when people come to the church and you speak the good news of Jesus Christ, and they're prepared, and we plant and we water, those are the ones that are ready to receive it. But the enemy wants us to give up and say, because all the rest of them acting like knuckleheads,
amen,
to stop doing it.
Amen. Amen.
Dr. G?
Well, you know, and too, you know, because see, we fail to realize that the devil is trying to close the church. He wants to close all churches. And if he can continue to keep folk blinded to the reality of that God is real, he will do it. And the bad part about it is, for some people, for many people, serving God and doing the work is just too hard.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we can find time for everything else. But when it comes time to find time to study, to prepare ourselves, to pray, to go to church, to get what we need, that takes too much time. You know, we can find the time to sleep, stay in the bed, because that's easy.
No effort.
It doesn't take a whole lot of effort.
Take effort and run that thing. Thank
you. Hello. But now, when you have been converted, it takes a little effort to get yourself up, whether you want to or not, get yourself ready, make it on out to the church, and then when you get to the church, you go in with a smile on your face, not mad because you had to come out or somebody made you. And the thing is, folk think it's just too hard. You don't have time for this. But let persecutions come, let tribulations come.
Wow.
All of a sudden, then we can find time.
Amen. Let's go back in verse 38. So the field is the world. This is Matthew 13, verse 38. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one.
Mm.
The enemy that soweth them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned into the fire, so shall it be at the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of the kingdom all things that offend them which do iniquity, and shall be cast and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear,
let him hear.
This thing is real, y'all. I don't know what to tell you, but there's going to come a time, amen, where God's going to separate.
Amen.
Amen. And in all the foolishness, amen, is going to be bundled up and burned up.
Amen.
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 And you know, this is what Jesus is saying. This is the reality. This is why he came, because judgment was pronounced upon the world.
Amen.
When he told Adam in the garden in Genesis 2:17, he said, "Of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, don't eat of it, because when you eat of it, the day you eat of it, you shall surely die." It's coming to an end. This world is coming to an end. There's nobody that's going to live forever in this world. Amen? Because it's been cursed because of sin. And so it's our job to go out and sow seed on good ground. But it's not our job to determine which is the good ground. It's our job to continue to sow the seed.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
And let God do the rest.
Mm.
You know, you got neighborhoods all over the world that need some sowers.
Mm.
Amen?
Amen.
But we get this attitude that the enemy will put planted out. They ain't going to be saved anyway. They just a bunch of no-good so-and-so. But we was a no-good so-and-so at one time, too.
Thank you.
And somebody sowed some good seed.
That's right.
Amen? Somebody took the time to share the good news of Jesus. Amen? We were sitting there like a buck on a log. Amen? Doing our own thing. But somebody, amen, said, "Let me sow some seed over there." Amen? But now we become sophisticated, Dr. G like to say.
Hello.
And we don't think that we think we're too good to go to some of these neighborhoods, amen. Because the way they look, their pants might be sagging, they might have some odor, or they might look a certain way, amen. But some of those people are good ground.
Amen.
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 Some of those folks are good ground, and we have to get past this crazy notion that we can determine just because we see. Man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart.
That's right. Amen. And, you know, Sheila G always says, you know, we've got to get beyond the walls. You know, we stay within the walls, everything within the walls. And we're not doing what God says. And, you know, Bob says, we already talked about it a bit, the harvest is plentiful. Mm-hmm. The harvest is not right there in the tree. You're not going to get everybody in the church.
Right.
So you've got to spread the word outside the church. There are people out there, young girls, or young boys, all this stuff. And if all of the church were doing what they should be doing, we would be preaching to these folk and helping folk. You know, I remember little situation back where Billy was outside the church barbecuing, and on this homeless guy came up and wanted something to eat, and he said, you know, he had to take care of the folks inside first. So the guy started cussing them out, calling them all kinds of names, and went on about his way.
Mm-hmm.
A little while later, the guy came back.
Mm-hmm.
Billy didn't raise his voice. He didn't get upset.
Mm-hmm.
Guy came back and apologized.
Mm-hmm.
See, too often we as Christians, we want to write them off. We want to cuss folk out, call them every kind of you know what's in the book, and then we lose sight that that's the harvest.
There you go.
Gave them some food at the end.
There you go.
And they sat there and they had a talk. That's the kind of stuff that we need to be doing.
Amen. And we're not going to not get a chance to talk to folk tonight, but we're going to go to the phone lines. We're going to talk the last four digit of your phone number. We're going to ask the question, do we understand the challenges of the church, that there's the ministry is to go and to sow. And, you know, in Matthew 28, it says, go you therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen. And so nowhere in there does it say go to the rich folk.
Hello.
Or go to the folk that look good.
Amen.
Or go to the folk just like you.
Mm-hmm.
It says go.
Amen.
And so I want to ask the question, does the church really understand that God wants us to go, whether they're folks that are saved, they're unsaved, whether they're in the church or out of church? He wants us to go and to spread this seed on good soil. But he doesn't give us the ability to see which soil is good or not. Is anybody tracking with me on that?
Mm-hmm.
In other words, he doesn't point out, okay, good soil. What he says is go out and sow the seed.
That's right.
And the seed, as long as we're sowing it, something's going to fall on good ground.
Amen.
You know, heaven rejoices over one soul that falls out with the world. And so, but if we're not out there sowing, we'll never reach that one soul. But we get hung up in who we should minister to, or who we should say, oh, we're not going to talk to them. Well, they don't want to hear. You know, so what if they don't want to hear? Our job was to go and tell you whether you want to hear it or not.
Amen.
So that's the question. Do we understand the parable of the sower, about how there's good ground, and whether it's good or not is not for us to determine. So we're going to go to the first caller. Last four digits, phone number 7971. 7971, you're on the air.
Good evening. Excuse me. Good evening, everyone. I always say that the church usually concentrates on the people in-house, and sometimes the ones on the outside are left by the wayside. And those are the ones that we can't look at a person and say, are they saved? Or is it something that you see in that person that could turn them around or change them? And you may not go out knocking on doors a lot of times, or it's just feeling that when you see people, occasions to talk to people on the outside of the church, I always say that is your opportunity to let your light shine, to go where they said you dare not go. You have to be bold when you're in the church and you know and God has shown you what to do, how to do it, and you don't do it. A good example is when people allow people to come and do a lot of gossip, or you're working with people that you know they are doing wrong, and you won't
Amen.
Speak out. You won't say a word. That's your opportunity. It's no particular place or that you are to reach out and sow that seed, but you have to have that ear and that spirit in your heart to recognize it when you see it, and that's when you go forth outside of the church, reaching people, having literature that you can pass on, or a kind word, or it's something that you can't buy. It's something that you have to be taught by what we are doing right now.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And you all have explained this so, and the verse 38, you read it over, and I wrote it down because
mm-hmm.
it brought out something in me today
mm-hmm.
to let me know you think you're doing it all, but you aren't.
Mm-hmm.
You need to try a little harder. to reach that someone that needs God in their life.
Amen.
It comes in different parables, but if you're not taught it, if you don't see it, you don't know how to go about doing it.
Right,
right.
And you all have given us enough that we shouldn't even be giving it a second thought. In the morning, we should get up with this on our heart and mind to reach somebody, not but one person.
Amen.
And I say we have to challenge ourselves sometimes, not looking for the other fellow or other person to do it. Why not me? Why not us?
Amen.
Why don't we do this and go forth? Don't just say it out your mouth. But I try all the time to touch somebody. Touch somebody, because you don't know who needs a word from God.
Amen. Well, thank you for your comment tonight. All right, we're going to go to studio audience, Brother B. Ask you the question, do you understand the parable or the sower, how important it is to sow seed, even though we don't know which ground is going to be good or...
I would definitely say early in my Christian walk, you know, I never really got to the point where I was ever put in a position, or whether I knowingly or unknowingly cared or knew to know about what the, I call it, dual responsibility of being a Christian is. And then I've grown and I've read and I've gotten closer with the Lord. I begin to understand, and Pastor Gregory knows this all too well, that it's not about me. You know, it's, people get so, it's partially right, and I'm trying to explain it the best way I can, but it's good to focus on you, your Christian journey, your walk, getting closer with Christ, but you can't forget about your brothers and sisters, because, you know, we're all not on the same Christian level, and at some point in time, as you mentioned about the seed being sowed, somebody sowed that seed in me. I came from a patch of dirt and grew into what I was now, so part of going to church, I kind of look at it like school. It's like you're not only learning about Christ, you're also learning about yourself, and you're also learning about where you are in your journey. And part of that knowledge that you're gaining is to go out and to spread the gospel about our Christianity and the goodness of God, and using yourself as an example or tool to say, hey, look, brother or sister, I've been where you are. I'm not better than you, but I'm a product to show, look, you can get it together and get to a point where you can be at the level I'm at or be surpass me. You know, I've seen, heard ministers talk about they were homeless living on the streets and now they've did a, you know, they've turned their life around. But I think a lot of times Christians get so caught up in the fact that they're so focused on themselves, they lose sight of the other part of it. And that's you have to bring your brothers and sisters along with you to grow, because everybody has a story, everybody has a beginning. But the only way that you're truly going to understand how it works is that the more you grow and realize that, okay, yes, part of this is for me to get better and to understand where I fit in the grand scheme of things, everybody, not whether you're a minister, minister of music, a deacon, usher, whatever, if you're in the church and you can call yourself a Christian and you've given your life to Christ, your responsibility is to go out and to basically sow the seeds. And look, and it's not your job to control when the sunshine rains. You may get cussed out. People may, you do what you're supposed to do. The human part of it does get frustrated because you're like, you know what, too many people just turn me away or whatever. You keep on doing it because it's not about you or your feelings. The higher purpose is guess what? All it takes is for you to get reach one.
There it is.
Reach one.
There it is.
And then once you reach that one person, then you've done it, and then you'll be hooked. But at the end of the day, you have to know that no matter what frustrations lie ahead of you, don't let it get you out of your understanding that, hey, as a Christian, you are supposed to go out here and minister to folks. But I think a lot of people lose sight of it because once they get it, they realize, like, okay, now I have to get better. I have to get closer to Christ. I'm trying to get into heaven. I'm trying to know the word, and I'm trying to do all these things. But you also, it's a dual role. You also have to say, okay, even though I'm part of the equation, I also have a responsibility to bring along my brothers and sisters. So I think we get caught up in it, and it is human nature. But I think once you understand that there are multiple assets to Christianity, and that yourself is just one part of the equation, then I think that's the only way we're going to grow, because people aren't going to gradually. You have some small percentages of people who gradually go to the church, but a lot of times it's because they've been referred, they've talked to somebody, they've heard it. So the only way you're going to draw people to God or to the church is to go out and meet them where they're at.
Amen.
Regardless of where you're going, where their background is, anything like that, you reach out to them because every soul is worth saving.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. All right, we're going to go to the next caller. Last digits, 9772. 9772, you're on the air.
Good evening, yes. I am glad and I'm happy today. The good Lord gave me another year to keep on sowing my seed. My grandmother sold it to me, and I sold it to my children, and I talked to them and let them know that God gave me another chance and keep on going, and I'm on the right track. And I said to us, just keep on sowing, and I go and further each day. And I minister each one that I go around in the neighborhood, and I said, and I speak about God and speak about Jesus. And some said, I do and I will, but they know that whatever they got to do, I got to stay on my track and keep on doing what I'm supposed to do. And I know I'm on the right track.
Amen. Well,
and
thank
I sow
you for
my
your
seed.
Comments.
Thank you.
All right, keep sowing that seed. Amen. All right, we're going to go to the last four digits, 1741. 1741, you are on the air.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Yes, we are commanded, we are compelled to go and to share the word of God. I think sometimes what hinders people, they think they have to have a whole lot, but they don't. All they have to do is just share what God has given them. And just when you do it out of pure heart and love people. And God, he's going to do the rest. The Holy Spirit going to work through you. But I think what happened a lot of times, sometimes people feel like they need all this education, they need, to know all this about the Bible. And God used us in simple ways, in very simple ways. And when the Holy Spirit is leading us, he give us the right words to say. And sometimes it might be two or three sentences. And sometimes he give us that listening ear, you know what I'm saying? But when we yield to the Holy Spirit and let the Holy Spirit use us, then our witness is effective. The word is effective. God, when we pray, he already know where he's going to lead us, what we need to say, and what we need to do. All we just need to do is yield ourselves unto him. And don't worry about, if this person is saved, because if you give them what God wants you to give them, he's going to work with it. He's going to work with it.
There you go.
And you might see them 10 years from now, and they might look like, they're not going anywhere, but you don't know that. All God asks us to do is plant a seed, and somebody else is going to water, he's going to give the increase.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. We're going to go to our next caller, last four digits, 2598. For 2598, you are on the air. 2598. All right, they must be listening in. We're going to go to the next caller, 6726. 6726, you are on the air.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, I'm here. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. My comment is, in order for you to be a good sower, you have to be doing the things of a sower that requires you to be a sower. In other words, you have to be reading your Bible, studying your Bible, meditating on your Bible, and praying. And then you look for opportunities. You pray over things, before you go out and do it, as far as witnessing the people. Now, the problem with some of us as potential witnesses, not all of us are willing to go out and speak to people because there's a afraidness. There's you know, you have a fear. Mm-hmm. God didn't put the spirit mm-hmm. of fear in us. All he
That's
told
right.
us is
That's right.
to go out and do it. Spread the word. Tell about Jesus, his death, burial, and resurrection. Tell about what God
mm-hmm.
is doing in your life. Don't look for, you know, you may have immediate results.
Yeah.
Most of
right.
the time, you're not going to have immediate results. And you got to be willing
right.
to accept maybe people cursing at you or turning away. Don't
mm-hmm.
worry about,
mm-hmm.
you know, if this person is saved or not. You know, let them see the God-like spirit in you. Let them see the light
right.
of Jesus Christ in you. That's all you need to be concerned with, you know. Don't worry about, well, if I talk to him, is he going to get mad at me? Guess what? They probably are. But then maybe, you know, and when they're going through something, oh, that person talked to me. He spoke to me.
Right.
He spoke kindly to me about Christ. He told me about his situation. Maybe if I can get his number and contact him again, you know, person might be willing to talk to you, and you invite them to church, you know. In any situation, don't forget to allow yourself to have a word to say about Jesus, because you never know who might be listening. That person
never
that
know.
You're talking to might not be listening, but, you know, get in the word, stay in the word, you know. You always want to be a wheat, a part of the wheat. You never want to be part of the tear, you know. And some things we just have to get away from. Oh, this person has been my friend all my life. He's not going to like what
mm-hmm.
I have to say
mm-hmm.
about Jesus and God, and Jesus and God coming in my life. He's going to get upset with me. So what? Do it anyway.
I know that's right.
You will be blessed. And person, you never know. He might be blessed years from now. He might be coming to you, telling you about scriptures years from now. So, like
That's
the
right.
saying goes, just do it.
Amen.
That's it.
Well, thank you
Amen.
For your comment tonight. Appreciate it. All right, we're going to take one more caller. Last four digits, 7348. You're on the air.
Yes, good evening. My comment is that not only is it important to focus on where we're sowing our seed, but we also need not to lose sight of what type of seed it is that we're sowing. We often want to reap a certain harvest, but when we understand the principle of sowing and reaping, you're going to reap what you sow. And so if we want to
Amen.
Reap a harvest of love, then it's important that we're
mm-hmm.
sowing seeds of love. If we want to reap a financial harvest, then it's important that we're sowing financially. So it's not just important about where we're sowing, but about what we're sowing.
Amen. Thank you for your
Amen.
Comments tonight. Dr. G?
Well, you know, along with what everybody was saying, you know, it's important that we go. It's also important that we allow the Spirit to use us. But a part of that sowing is how we carry ourselves, what we say, the kind of spirit people can see within us. I learned this from Sheila G. I go to work with a smile on my face. I speak to people, even if I know that they're not going to speak to me. I make them say good morning. And I've learned by being around my wife that if you become that bold, see, that's sowing, because it's not just talking about Christ. It's not just sharing the scripture. It's about helping people. It's about speaking a kind word, being kind, being generous. It's not always about what you say, but how you do things.
Amen.
And too often, folk in the church, they're doing all of the negative things. And that's one thing that will keep us from sowing the kind of seeds that the Lord can help us become fruitful, because we can share things with people, and it doesn't always have to be in the church.
Mm-hmm.
But like I said, you can be on your job, how you talk, folks. You know, I've been around folks that just is ornery and evil, and these are supposed to be church folks. But yet, the words that are coming out of your mouth, you know, we've got to learn how to treat people with kindness. I think the caller said you reap what you sow.
That's right.
And then
that's right.
Old saying about, well, you know, the Lord knows my heart.
He does.
We need to quit saying that because God does. And if I leave anything with people, I know it's tough, but our job is to do as God commands. But if we don't know who the Lord is and if we don't have that personal one-on-one relationship, we're not going to be effective in sowing seeds.
Amen. Sheila G., you have anything?
Everyone, the key to me is represent Christ 24/7. And as you do that, then that means if you're in the grocery store and someone is ringing up your groceries, they may be having the worst day in the world, but if you just show the love of Christ,
thank you,
that could encourage that person. And I watched my daughter with she has truly Holy Ghost boats.
Yes,
we were at Morgan State University doing a college tour, and before we left, the director of the administrative, she told her about the Lord and that if she's ever in D.C. to come visit our church. And that was after talking about education, talking about how far God has brought her, and that's the kind of boldness we should have. And that director just gave her a big hug. So, again, back to the reaping what you sow, if that's where she decides to go, that young lady is going to be saying that there's something different about her.
Exactly. All right. Well, good lesson.
Amen.
Now we're going to close out with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for your word, God. God, we thank you for your spirit that has taught us tonight. And God, we pray that this word would find a lodging place in our hearts, God, that we would be able to apply it to our lives, God. God bless us that we would understand that it is your command that we would go and we would sow good seed, God. And, oh, God, and it is up to you, God, the ground that is going to be fertile, God. And we know that if we water and we plant, God, that you'll give the increase. And so, God, help us be mindful, oh, God, that we would be obedient to you, God. Help us to sow good seed, God, and help us to understand, God, that it's all in your time, God, and it's all in your plan, God. God, help us to continue to love each other, God. You said that men would know that we are your disciples if we have love one for another. And help us to continue to sow seeds of love in ministry, God, that you would receive honor, glory, and praise. And, oh, God, if there's someone that doesn't know you in the free pardoning of their sin, God, as we're sowing, we pray that you would prick them at their heart.
Amen.
And, oh, God, that they would come running, I yield, I yield. What must I do to be saved? We pray that this would be done to your glory. And now we pray, God, that you would continue to be with us throughout the rest of this week, throughout this holiday weekend, God. We pray your covering upon us, God, that we would be able to come and go safely, God. And, oh, God, that we would be, if your will, get to our several destinations safely. Wherever we are, we will give your name honor, glory, and praise. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right. That's going to do it for us tonight. We'll see you all next Thursday night. Good night.